Welcome to the My Crazy Office Podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Katherine Crowley. They are committed to helping you navigate the hardest part of any job, the people. And now, here are Kathy and Katherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Katherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
And today we want to welcome our guest, Kirk Faulkner. Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. Kirk is a stand-up comedian who also runs a production company called Hero Content, which he was just telling me they do the Swiffer commercials. I love those Swiffer commercials.
Oh.
By the way, I love my Swiffer.
Big hit.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's a great product. And the commercials are cool.
Yeah.
They're very cool. So tell us a bit about yourself and what's the best way for people to find out about you?
I'm a stand-up comic. I've moved into production. I came out to New York to get into filmmaking through NYU, and so production has kind of been a natural thing. I work with a lot of like raw talent, getting them their first big payday. And the easiest way to get a hold of me is probably through my Twitter, which is at The Daily Kirk. Or just Kirk Faulkner, Google me. You'll get there somehow.
Yeah, we'll find you.
Yeah.
And that's how we found you, actually, through Twitter. So, yeah, that's a good way. So, wait, tell me a little bit about this production company again.
It's just a really solid production company. But unlike most production companies, we don't rep, like, a small group of directors. We are, like, constantly going out and finding new talent and helping, like, a lot of young comedians and documentarians and people who just aren't, they haven't had their first big payday.
So it's real people.
Real talent, you know, who aren't jaded yet. I just came from lunch with these two comedians named the Temple Horses, and they make these videos. They just were at the Friars Club Film Festival, and I think they're going to be awesome commercial makers, and it'll be great to get them a paycheck.
That's
great.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun. All right, well, let's go to our questions, cool. Logan. What do we have today?
Sure. I recently hired a woman who is very skilled technically, but who acts a little too familiar professionally. When I sent out an email to members of my staff explaining how to prepare for a client event next week, she responded with, "You go, girl." Before a recent meeting with my team, she walked in and said, "Hey, girlfriend, I'm honestly nervous about what she might say in front of a client. How do I tell her not to treat me like her best friend?"
Her BFF.
Her BFF.
These are all things I've said to bosses before.
You know.
Definitely.
Have you really? You have too?
No.
Okay. No.
I've definitely gotten the you need to act a little more professional talk.
Like, I just, you have? What did you say?
I'm classically like making inappropriate jokes in meetings and like kind of, you know, office humor is very, like very contained and corralled. And it doesn't take very much to get outside of that before somebody taps you on the shoulder and goes, "That's not how we talk here."
So you're the entertainer wherever you go.
Yeah, I've often felt like that was more of my job description at a lot of my jobs than the actual work I was doing.
There you
go. It was just
to
kind of keep people around me happy.
Well, but this is a good point because I think the real issue here has to do with boundaries and interpersonal boundaries and what your boundaries are and what this woman's boundaries are. So for her, being familiar and casual is standard operating procedure, right?
No, I don't think that's it. I think that the way you act outside of work is the way, you know, is one thing. And that when you get into a professional environment, there is another way of acting. And
right.
We all have to learn to act professional. And you want to take off that professional hat when you're more relaxed. But there is a protocol. There is a proper way of saying good morning.
So you're saying this woman doesn't have a distinction between professional and
her inside voice and her outside voice.
Yeah, I think it's something you do have to learn. I think, you know, if people are hiring you to do a job, they don't need to know your... Well, this is kind of slang, in my opinion. And slang is not appropriate.
Hey, girlfriend. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's appropriate...
to say to your boss.
Or to say to a client.
There's also a difference between in-office talk and client-facing talk.
Well, definitely.
So once you prove to your boss that, like, maybe you can be a little more casual in the office, but when you are in front of clients, you, like, square up and kind of have a little bit more of the...
Yeah, and it's really to just knock down the barriers. See, I think when you do this, then the expectation from the client or the boss is to then respond in slang. And that's fine if you're not in the office, but you know, there is a professional communication style for a reason.
So what this person would have to do is explain this to her employee.
Absolutely. Yeah. She has to just say, you know, that what you do outside of here and how you communicate is one thing, but in the office, we have to speak professionally.
And then you have to model that for her, I would imagine. It seems like she doesn't have a good idea of really what that would look like. Like, you have to say, you can't say, you go girl, and you can't call me girlfriend. You actually need to address me in a more formal way, right?
Yeah, and what are some of the other things people say?
I gotcha.
No, you didn't.
Awesome.
I think swearing in the office can be like a really tricky thing. Like, can you drop F-bombs in front of your boss?
No, it's really tricky. I mean, I think if you're working really late at night, maybe sometimes in certain environments, it's okay. But in general, the more professional you are, the better you'll do.
I think with someone like this, though, I come back to my boundary that I think she doesn't understand the boundary, the line between professional and personal. So you have to explain it to her because she's not going to know. If she's doing this, she doesn't know it. Clearly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have to model and give very concrete examples. For example, when I send you an email, I'd prefer that you respond, I understand, looking forward to the meeting, as opposed to you go girl.
Yeah.
At least we know she's enthusiastic, you know?
Yeah, she sounds like a sassy influence.
Right? Passionate.
She has passion.
A lot of spark in her, you know?
Yeah, so that's the fine line, not to have her be fake.
Yeah,
or have to not be who she truly is, but still act more adult in the workplace, I think. I mean,
yeah.
I kind of feel like I'm being old by saying this, but I think it doesn't work.
Yeah, all of the conversations I've had like this with a boss, though, if the boss handled it right and with like even a modicum of respect, they actually ended up being huge things for me, where like I...
Right.
realized that this wasn't appropriate, and it probably saved me from 10 other headaches like down the road. So
right.
It's actually a really nice thing to do for somebody if you can do it right. Like, say, this is how you talk here, blah, blah,
actually,
blah.
Actually, that is such a great point, because you could say to this person, look, technically you're one of the most skilled people I know, and I want you to build your career. So let me tell you, if you want to move forward with your career, here's how you have to address people in an office setting. And so, you know, we're going to model this for you. But this is what you're going to need to move forward. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great, it's a really good point.
Put a hand on their shoulder and say, you go, girl. You go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it has to be addressed. I think that's the bottom line. All right. Let's just.
That's where we got with that.
Yeah, let's just go to our next question, Logan.
How do you handle a boss who is hostile and demeaning? My boss is really smart, but emotionally retarded. He thinks that good management happens through intimidation. He says things to me like, this report is pathetic. You have the writing skills of a 10-year-old. The other day, I asked if he'd like me to help him with a certain research project. His response was, if I need a subpar research assistant, I'll call you.
Ugh.
How do I handle this guy without punching him or quitting?
Well, you can punch him or quit.
It's a free country.
Theoretically.
Exactly.
You can.
You say, you go, girl. No. Yeah.
No, you didn't.
No, I think the problem here is this person went to the Hitler's management's training school. It doesn't work. This is really dated stuff. And the problem with a boss like this is they have 100% turnover every year anyway.
Yeah.
So usually, you know, people do quit. I mean, hostile, demeaning, intimidation. Ugh.
Yeah.
No, go find a new job.
Yeah. Well, I would say one thing that it's important to understand, because if this is one of your first bosses, you may actually feel like there's something wrong with you, you know? So unless you actually do have the writing skills of a 10-year-old, you have to learn not to take this berating behavior personally.
That's really hard to do.
It's really hard, but we can at least say that anyone who's listening who has someone who speaks to them in this manner, it's not about you. It's about them, and they're sick, honestly, and competitive and easily threatened and trying to control you and others through fear. So I'd just like to say that.
Wow.
The next time you go on a job interview, find out how many people have had this job before you and how long they stay.
Yeah.
it's not really the question you can ask the boss, but you want to try to find that out.
Yeah.
Because that's usually a tip that there's a mean, really mean boss. I mean, I would assume this person owns the company. Otherwise, they'd get fired. They usually can't get away with this.
Well,
but they do work in corporations,
so
too.
I had this exact thing happen to me. You said I can swear on this, because I just want to say what the boss said exactly.
I want to know. I really got to know.
I was working for this person. They owned the company. And one thing you need to know about me is I grew up Mormon. I'm not practicing anymore, but like a lot of times people find that out about me because I served a mission and stuff. So it's like, it becomes like general knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And we were in this meeting and I said something and my boss misunderstood it, that I was challenging something they had said.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they wheeled on me real fast and said, "Shut your mouth, you white Mormon piece of shit."
So what did you do? Did you punch him? What'd you do?
So I like all the blood drained out of my face. Yeah. And my immediate reaction was I'm going to stand up and like I'm just going to start yelling.
Right.
And what I did is I stood up. The meeting was just, and it was at a meeting in front of the entire company too.
Wow.
The meeting was just ending. I stood up. I didn't even go back to my desk. And I went out and we were by Central Park and I just started lapping the park, just walking.
Right. Yes. Right.
And I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I eventually sat down on a bench and on my iPhone, I wrote a formal complaint to the HR department of the company against the person who owned the company.
Right. Wow.
And then when I came back, the entire company was like in a tizzy because nobody had ever done that, even though this boss was kind of famous for that kind of talk. And it ended up creating like the fact that I stood up to this boss in that manner.
Yeah.
It was rough for like about a couple weeks after that, but like this newfound respect came after that. And that kind of talk did not happen again. And I didn't like go on carrying a grudge. I mean, it really like using that little mechanism of an HR complaint, which I had never done, never thought of again. Like,
did he ever apologize?
There was a very weird, awkward apology. It was heartfelt, but like, you know, people are who they are. And eventually you can demand some respect here and there, but eventually you're going to be with this person or you're going to leave them, you know? I mean, you make the decision eventually, but in that situation, yelling, throwing things, anything like that, you're just crippling your position.
Yeah.
I once had a boss do something similar to me like that, and I just went to him after and I said, "I think you lowered yourself, not me." And and it was pretty demeaning what he said, and it was, you know, an ethnic comment to me about my religion, and it was really... I could not take it personally because it was so stupid.
Yeah.
And it really was more of a reflection on him. And he really was embarrassed after that.
You know, what I think is so interesting about what you described is it is sort of like what we talk about with unhooking. You know, we say unhook physically, unhook mentally, and unhook verbally, unhook with a business tool. So you took yourself for a walk just to kind of purge the energy. You sat down, you thought about what are my options here, what can I do?
Yeah.
And then you took the high road. You just sent a letter complaining to HR, literally, about what just happened, which legally was inappropriate anyway.
Yeah.
And good things came from that.
My kind of little hippie wisdom is that everybody's on their own trip.
And that's like, true.
you don't want to get on somebody else's trip. You want to stay on your trip. And so people are always throwing things at you, trying to pull you into their trip.
Yeah.
And if you can just calmly say, like, I reject this invitation to your trip. I will continue down my own little path right now.
I really like that. That's really good.
It's important for working, and it's also important when you're on hallucinogenic drugs.
These are exactly. I think it's the title of a book.
I reject this invitation to your trip, or staying in your trip.
Yeah.
Don't let people trip you up. I like it.
It's really good. All right, what else? You got anything else, Catherine, you think about this demeaning, hostile, intimidating boss? Horrible.
Well, from a psychological point of view, really it's about taking care of yourself, whatever that means, and getting support, whatever that means, and making sure that you, and along the lines of what Kirk said, find out what your rights are in the situation. But really go in the camp of the people who care about you and who can hear the reality of what you're going through. Because the other thing about these demeaning people is you can start to think you're crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially if they do it in a more sort of hidden, you know, close the door and then start berating you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as an executive coach, I'd say start looking for another job. You deserve better.
Yeah.
One thing I think a boss like this will often try to do is they'll try to convince you that this is, you know, the way it is at this office.
Yes.
Like, oh, this is just how we talk here. You know, I call him this and her this. And it's like, all right, that's fine. But like, I'm not going to let my own personal space be defined by whatever weird BS you guys got going around here. Like, I demand a certain amount of respect. I demand a certain amount of, like, I don't know, just basic human decency.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let it be violated. And so if I have to be a bubble in the office, eventually you'll start to affect that environment yourself.
Yeah. I mean, that's very mature, what you're saying.
It is.
It's easy to say when it's not like in your face.
Yeah, no, I think it's terrific that you can do that.
I'm a very mature person.
I think so, right. So the very mature grown-up Kirk, how can people find you?
You can go to The Daily Kirk on Twitter. If you're on Facebook, you can look up Kirk Faulkner Comedy. That's a good way to find my my upcoming shows.
Yeah, and funny videos on YouTube.
Yeah, I got some good videos up. And if you are at an advertising agency or a director or have any way want to be involved in making commercials or getting commercials made for you, go to herocontent.com. I'm the one watching that.
Very cool.
There we go.
You can see what we do.
That's really cool. And thank you for being here. That's it for this segment.
This was really fun.
Yeah, join us next time for another My Crazy Office Podcast. And don't forget to send your questions and your stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
Join us next time for another My Crazy Office Podcast. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.